670, this will be the song to be used at the end of Brother Steve's sermon.
We may joke about it and tease people about it, but have you ever known that person or those people who say there is a place for everything and everything should be in its place? Well, we can laugh about that if we want to, but in reality, there is a place for everything. And if everything is in its place, our lives go a lot more smoothly. Things are a lot better. We waste a lot less time. And when we look at Scripture, we find out that God has a place for us. And our question this morning is, are we in the place that God has planned for us? You know, when God spoke the world into existence, everything had its place. And everything was in its place, functioning as God had designed it. And the only way it would is if it did remain in the place where He put it. He created the light. He created the heavens. He created vegetation, the fowls, and He created mankind, of course. For 6 days, when God spoke, something that had never existed before came into being. He looked at all of it and He said, "It is good." On the sixth day, God created man, and He looked at man and all of the creation, and He said, "It is very good." Genesis 1 and verse 31. He gave two commands to mankind. That was Genesis 2 and verse 15 and 17, to dress the garden and keep it, and to abstain from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. But according to Genesis 3, we don't know how much time it was, but very soon it appears He did that very thing that God told Him not to do. He left the place in which God had placed Him to do that which God had told Him not to do. And God put a curse upon him and drove him from the Garden of Eden. And that curse remains upon the earth as far as that is concerned, even to this day. And things have not gotten much better since Adam and Eve. People are constantly getting away from the purpose and the place that God created for him. We have seen a lot of changes in our lifetime that man has made for himself that has taken him further away from God. Sometimes people take jobs that they know will take them away from God. Sometimes people marry mates that they know will take them away from God and make decisions, bad decisions, that pull them away from all things that are spiritual. Solomon said, and in regard to what he was seeing in his day, in Ecclesiastes 7 and verse 29, "Lo, this only have I found, that God hath made man upright, but he hath sought out many inventions." We look around the world today and we see that men and women have sought out many inventions, creating or choosing many changes to the way that God has designed for our world to work and for the way for us to live our lives so that we will have the best life possible while we are here. And as long as the world stands, there will be people who will turn away from God and create unnecessary mental anguish and physical harm to themselves. Sometimes people say, "Well, it's never been as bad as it is today. This must be the sign of the end." Well, in the Bible, there are no signs of the end. There were signs of the coming of destruction of Jerusalem in Matthew 24, but no signs of the end of the world. 5 times Jesus made the point, you need to watch and be ready because you don't know when it's coming. And things are bad in our world, but they're not the worst they've ever been. If you'd lived in the days of Jesus Christ and the days of the Apostle Paul and had to live under the oppression and the wickedness of the Roman Empire, the Greeks were known as some of the most immoral people who, their world empire was one of the most immoral that ever existed. And you look at the people during the days of Noah, people were wicked then much more than they are now. And so, yes, things are bad now. And things may be worse than we have personally ever seen them, but they're not the worst they've ever been. Go back and read your Bible. Look at the history. Look at the nations of Assyria, the nations of Babylonia. You look at the kind of morality or immorality that they had, the wickedness, the hatred, the bloodshed that went on. Yes, it's bad now, but it's certainly not as bad as it has been. But what this does is reinforce in our minds the reality that as long as humankind is alive upon this earth, there will be people who will seek out many inventions. People who will do what Solomon observed and they will leave the place that God has prepared for them. God has a place for every face, and everyone ought to stay in his or her place. Because if we operate in the areas that God has designed, our heart will be right, our conscience will be clear. If we don't abide in the things that he has instructed, our lives will very likely be quite miserable. Let's look at a few of these things this morning. We're going to start with the negative. God's place for you is not in darkness. Think about John 12 and verse 46. Jesus said, "I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness." Should not abide in darkness. There is the idea of a continual walking in this darkness. And Jesus is saying, no, you don't do that. In John 3 and verse 19, this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world and that men loved darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. They were trying to justify themselves. They did whatever they wanted to do that brought fleshly pleasure, and then they hated anything that said, this is wrong. For everyone, verse 20, that doeth evil hateth the light. The word doeth there has the idea of continual action. Someone who has chosen to do evil and does it on a daily basis or a regular basis. That person who intentionally does this, he hates the light. Neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be manifest, that they are wrought in God. If I know that I'm not doing anything that's wrong, why would I care? Why would I be worried about sitting down and listening to someone read the Scripture? Why would I be worried about reading the Bible? Why would I be worried about somebody asking me why I'm doing what I'm doing? If I have nothing to be ashamed of, then I have nothing to hide. What's the point? What's the problem? Jesus says, though, that a person who lives in darkness, a person who loves it, that person, he's going to shun any mention of right or wrong, and don't talk to him about the Bible, to him or her about the Bible, because they will turn away from it. So God does not want us to abide in darkness. You remember in Colossians 1, verses 13 and 14, that in the context of salvation, Paul is making the point here that we can come out of that darkness. He said, giving thanks unto God and the Father who hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints. Look at verse 12. In light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. So one place, or the first place, we would mention that God does not desire for us is that we should walk in darkness. He does not desire that we should walk in sin. We all remember Romans 6 and verse 23, the wages of sin is death. I remember working in a factory. I know a lot of you may have had the same experience, but you'd go in, you had a time card. You had to punch a time card when you go in. You punch a time card when you went out. And at the end of the week or every 2 weeks, whatever the pay schedule was, that would be tabulated and you would be paid. You would receive a paycheck based upon the hours that you worked. God says that's the way it is with life too. Not that we're going to work to earn anything, but the point is, we are going to be paid according to what we have done. And if we have chosen, if we have loved the darkness rather than light and have chosen to walk in sin and to live in sin, that paycheck that we're going to receive is condemnation. 1 John 3 and verse 4, we remember that John said, whosoever committed sin transgresseth the law, for sin is a transgression or is the transgression of the law. James 4 and verse 17 tells us we can sin in a negative way as well as in a positive way. In that he said that if we know to do good and do it and do not do it, that to us it is sin. So there are sins of a commission, things that we do, and then there are things that we allow to go undone. It doesn't mean that we can do everything all the time, but it means that when we have the opportunity and the ability that we need to do what is good. John said again in 1 John 5 and verse 17 that all unrighteousness is sin. God does not want us to be in the place of those who just seek to fulfill earthly desires. If you want to look at Romans 8 there, Romans 8 beginning at verse 5. He said, for they that are after the flesh, and remember, these would be those who loveth the darkness, They that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are of the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Now, there's two places we could be. We could be in the light or we can be in the darkness. We can be in the darkness by being carnally minded. We can be in the light by being spiritually minded. And it's only the second one that gives us life and peace. That's what we said in the beginning. When we are in the right place, our lives will be better. He said in verse 7, because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can it be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Look at verse 10. If Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh, for if you live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if you through the Spirit do mortify, that means to put to death, the deeds of the body you shall live. For as many are as led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God, for ye have not received the spirit of bondage again unto fear. Now that's a long reading, and quite honestly, if you start at verse 1 and go through the whole chapter, he's going to go through that repeatedly, just in different ways. But what is he telling us? That God is not interested in us being in that place. That it is a bad place to be led solely by fleshly desires. Remember, John said in 1 John 2, beginning at verse 15, that we're not to love the world, because all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life is of the world, is not of God. So we have a broad breakdown, the categories there. Eve gave in to, Satan used all three in the Garden of Eden, and Eve gave in to the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. In Matthew 4, as Jesus was being tempted, Satan used all three, the lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. But there is a place that we do not need to be in. That place is in darkness, following these things. So God's place for us is not in fleshly desires. It's not in a way that just seems right. The proverb writer said, for there is a way which seemeth right unto right to man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Someone says, well, then I don't have a chance. If it seems right and then I'm wrong, how could I ever know? Paul told Timothy how to know. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. 2 Timothy 2:15. Paul said, prove all things. We're familiar with that. But you know, an illustration is found in Acts chapter 26 as Paul is before the council. He said, men and brethren, I have lived in all good conscience unto this day. Paul was honest in persecuting Christians, but he was honestly mistaken. If a man who is as highly educated as the Apostle Paul, a person who is as zealous as Saul of Tarsus, if a person like that could be sincerely wrong, then what about you and me? It just reminds us and reinforces the fact that we need to study, that we need to be sure. Paul felt good about what he was doing. It seemed right to him, but he was wrong. Ask questions. Ask questions about worship. Why do we do what we do? Why do we not do things that we don't do? Why did we become a Christian? What was necessary to become a Christian? So ask questions and go back to the book. Let God answer the question. Let God answer the question and be fully persuaded in our own minds. Fully persuaded in our own minds. God does not want us to live in disobedience. Look at Ephesians chapter 2, going back to the book we read from in our text this morning. But look at Ephesians 2, beginning at verse 1. Paul, talking to Gentiles here, says this, and you hath he quickened or made alive, who were, past tense, dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world. They were walking in darkness. They were walking in darkness. They were living according to the flesh, according to the prince of the power of the air. So who is behind fleshly desires that would lead us to eternal destruction? It's Satan, the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Those who love the darkness are being led by the devil. and they're following him. And Jesus said he was a murderer from the beginning, John chapter 8. But he says in verse 3, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature, that is by nature what they were doing, the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy for his great love, wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are you saved. Now, I know we went a little further, but the point there is this. Paul says, you used to walk in disobedience. You walked in darkness. You walked after the flesh. But you're not doing that anymore because God had a better place for you. And that better place was in Christ. And so now that you're in Christ, don't go back to those things. Don't be walking in disobedience. Disobedience is not the place. A person who lives in disobedience is not living in the place that God has chosen. What about unfaithfulness? Luke 16 and verse 10, Jesus said, He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. And he that is unjust in the least is also unjust in much. If therefore ye have not been faithful in the righteous mammon, who will commit to your trust the true riches? And if ye have not been faithful in that which is another man's, who shall give you that which is your own? You know, you ask yourself the question, thinking about what Jesus said here, is that not our experience as well? If a person will lie to you about one thing, will they not lie to you about something else? Yes. If a person is a person of integrity that knows that something has gone wrong, that they owe you something back. For example, a lady went to the cashier to the checkout one day at the grocery store, and she was one of these people that had one of those little clickers, you know, where you check how much you spent. That was before the days of cell phones where you could keep it. But she was clicking her little clicker, and she added it up, and she knew what her grocery bill should be. And so she gave the woman at the checkout counter a $20 bill for a bag of groceries. Now, that tells you how long ago it's been. She gave her a $20 bill, and the woman gave her back a dollar too much in change. Well, the lady said, oh, ma'am, I think you gave me back too much. She said, no, I'm sure I did it right. She said, well, no, you gave me back a dollar too much. She said, well, just keep it because it's going to mess me up. She said, well, no, when you tally your drawer at the end of the day, you're going to be short a dollar. Well, I'll put it in. I don't have to. Well, let me just leave it with you. And she left the dollar bill on the counter for the lady to do, the cashier to do whatever she wanted to do with it. But you know what? She went home with a clean conscience. If you're going to be just in the little things, you're going to be just in the big things. I have heard of employers that would set up a potential candidate for a job to watch what they would do on some little something that a lot of people would just let slip by. Because if that person caught it and that person did the right thing, that employer knew this would be a trustworthy associate. This would be somebody we would be honored to have on our staff. Isn't that what Jesus is saying? If we're going to cheat in the little things, we'll cheat in the big things. If we're going to do right in the little things, then we'll do right in the big things. And so our focus needs to be on just being in the right place, being faithful in all things, and doing the right thing. Well, what about the pollutions of this world? In 2 Peter chapter 2, remember what Peter says here about those who would fall away. In 1 Peter 2, beginning at verse... Well, I'm sorry, I said 1 Peter. 2 Peter 2, beginning at verse 20. He said, for if after they have escaped the pollutions of this world through the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and are entangled therein again and overcome, the latter end is worse with them than the beginning. For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than after they have known it to turn from the holy commandment given unto them. But it is happened unto them according to the true proverb, the dog is turned to his own vomit again, and the sow that was washed to her wallowing in the mire. Going back into the world. Sometimes people call that a backslider. I don't know if that term's appropriate or not. It is found in the Old Testament. It's used of Israel. But you know, the point I want to make is this. Everyone loses when someone goes back into the world. Everyone loses. God loses a son or daughter. Christ loses a worker. The church loses a member. And the person who falls away loses their soul. Everyone loses. That is, unless that person repents and comes back, and all of that can be reversed. But everyone loses when we turn back into the world. Well, what about God's place? What about God's place for children? You know, we have a term that we use sometimes called the age of accountability. Some people say the age of responsibility. Why do we even bring that up? Well, there are days in a child's life when that child is living in innocency, and that child is living in a safe place. And God designed it to be a place of safety. In Matthew chapter 18, listen to what Jesus said about children. I'm going to start in verse 2. Jesus called a little child unto him and set him in the midst of them, and he said, "Verily I say unto you, except you be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven." Look at chapter 19 and verse 14. Later on, Jesus said, "Suffer little children and forbid them not to come unto me, for of such is the kingdom of heaven." Now, if that child, he was talking about the humility of the child, but if that child was a hardened sinner, doomed for hell, then why would Jesus tell us to become like them? But Jesus said, in regard to that young child, that is a child who does not yet know the difference between right and wrong and has not made the choice to do that which is wrong. Sin is a transgression of the law, but we can't transgress it until we know what it is. Didn't Paul say, where there is no law, there is no transgression? So a child comes to a point of responsibility or a point of accountability when they know the difference between right and wrong, and they make the wrong choice and they choose to sin. But before that period of time, that child is in innocency. It's in a place of safety. The days of accountability in Christ is a time when those children need to have their sins forgiven. In Acts 22 and verse 16, we find in baptism that sins are washed away. We find in 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 17 that child or that teenager, or that young adult, whomever it is that's obeying the gospel, that they become a new creature. We find in Ephesians 1 that person has access to all spiritual blessings which are in Christ. We find that it is baptism which allows one to be placed into Christ. Galatians 3 tells us this, that to be in Christ, we are baptized into Christ. Galatians 3 and verse 27. In Acts chapter 2 and verse 38, we find that it's when we repent and are baptized that we can be said to be those who have gladly received the word that God has given to us. And verse 47 says that it is, that. Well, verse 41 goes on to say that those people were added to the group of the saved. And verse 47 says that it is the Lord that was adding them to the church, adding to the church daily those that were being saved. So God's place for children, in that time of innocence, they're in their place. When they come to that age of responsibility or accountability and they sin and they realize that they have a knowledge of right and wrong, and they have, their conscience begins to bother them because they know that they've sinned, they need the blood of Christ. They need the blood of Christ, just like a hard-hearted old person. They need the blood of Christ. There is a place for children. In God's place for children, we need to know and to realize that they need to choose the path of righteousness. Jesus came, the Bible says, to teach us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. This means righteousness, that is, means doing those things that are right. It means also that we need to remain faithful in all things. In Hebrews 11 and verse 6, you remember that the Hebrews writer said that without faith it is impossible to please God. That he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. We're not going to diligently seek him. We're not going to walk in the light. We're not going to live a faithful life if we don't believe in him. So we must remain faithful, whether we be a teenager or whether we be a young adult or an older adult. Children are told to obey their parents in Ephesians 6 verses 1 through 3. This is one of my favorite passages because it says more than just to obey. He says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee and thou mayest live long on the earth. And you fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord." In Colossians 3 and verse 20, the Bible says, "Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord." Ecclesiastes 12 and verse 1, "Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth." Why did he say remember now? Because there may come a day when you would want to remember your Creator, when you'd want to be reconciled to your Creator, and you may not be able to. May not be able to. So obedience to parents is another part of this. What about God's place for man? I'm going to go through this very quickly. Let me just look. Our time is actually up. I tell you what, I'm going to stop. I had intended to look. There is a place for man, there is a place for woman, and we'll look at that tonight. Our time is gone. I don't know how, but it is. But there is a place for children, there is a place for men, there is a place for women, and all of them are well defined in the Scriptures. And that's what we want to see, and so we're going to ask ourselves the question, and we'll just continue this tonight. We'll continue this tonight. But we want to ask ourselves, are we in the place that God has designed for us? And it doesn't matter whether we are a young person who has obeyed the gospel or a young person who needs to obey the gospel, then we need to make sure that we are in Christ so that we will be in that place that God has prepared for us. As a man and as a woman, we need to make sure that we are in the place that God has designed for us. Because you know what? There is another place that God wants us to be and that He has prepared for us, and that place is heaven. In Matthew 25, we read that the place that God prepared for the devil and his angels, did you hear that? The place God has prepared for the devil and his angels is hell. That's not the place that He's wanting to prepare for us. For us, He's preparing that beautiful place that's called heaven. So this morning, if you do believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and would repent of sins, you would be buried with Christ in baptism. Get into the place that God has designed for you so that you can be in that place that He has designed for you in eternity. And as a child of God, if we haven't been faithful, we know that we can come back. We can be reconciled to God through confession and prayer. 1 John 1 and verse 9, James 5 and verse 16. If we could help you, would you come as together we stand and as we sing?